agenda is public comment. Our first individual is Michael Sindrum. Mr. Sindrum, welcome to the Metro Board. Good morning. This is Sherrod Wade. Mr. Wade.
You're not. You're stupid and pay to play. A whole bunch of them. We need to go. Don't do it again, Jack. Don't do it again.
Mr. Wade, please come on up. Welcome to the Metro Board. Public witness is Rico Daney.
Dante.
Where's this? How does that Dante?
Dancy.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Metro Board.
About 8:30, 11 from the station, about 8:05, got to
got to certificate of aid. He started helping. I got the bus. You get people leaving the bus. It was a heavyset man, older man. And when bus drivers are yelling at suspicious, we have a problem. This is not safe. We have a problem with them yelling at us, okay? And when you have a bunch of kids, about 10 of them on the bus, these are yelling, hurry up. I'm late, hurry up, get the bus down. I got the bus. What are you doing with them, the bus driver, are yelling at suspicious people for no reason? Because he or she's late. I'd like to know what the board is doing and what the steps are they taking. I'm the president of the National Black Deaf Advocate. Also, I'm the founder of Black Lives and Report the Deaf. So, when I get even with my people, then I got to see what can we do with that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next public witness is Mr. Torres. Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Torres.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am a totally blind provider of Metro Access, and I'm here to address some issues that are of concern to me and individuals on the Access Board, as well as in the disabled community. Before I begin with my intended remarks, I just want to let you folks know, I don't know if you know this, but the audio for the public comments are disrupted. You hear the members of the board very clearly, but I'm not sure if it was corrected at the last meeting, but the meeting in March, the public comments were disrupted considerably. So I'm not quite sure what that's all about. The main issue I'm here to address this morning has to do with the Accessibility Advisory Committee made up of persons with disabilities. Essentially, the committee is not given the respect that it needs in order for proper implementation of policies benefiting persons with disabilities and senior citizens. The committee does not have a binding vote. So it doesn't matter what the committee says in terms of things that they want. They are simply overridden, or they can be easily overridden, or essentially ignored. And that has led to problems with the acquisition of vehicles. The 5700 series vehicles had a series of problems. There was a purchase of cars recently, and essentially we were told, well, you can choose any car as long as one of these three. I believe that AAC should have been given time and information in order to set so that we put together the right set of vehicles. We don't want to have a situation where, oh yeah, you can choose any car that you want as long as it's black. That's not real, and that is somewhat fake. So I call upon the board to do what they can to change this rule where AAC's vote is not binding, because people are investing a lot of time and money to come to these meetings, but their comments and input are essentially ignored. Thank you, everyone. Have a pleasant day.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. And finally, Michael Coughlin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Michael Coughlin. I'm an attorney here on behalf of Iron Mountain. They're a tenant at 3636 Hennessy Drive. They will be displaced by the heavy repair facility. Currently it's 137,000 square feet, and in that space they store approximately 900,000 boxes that attorneys had given to them, files and other materials. Just here to make sure that the board
very much. That ends our public comment. The next item on the agenda is a report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner. Mr. Posner, welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. Try to get the microphone straight so that you can hear me. We'll talk about what we did this past month on Metrorail, bus, and Metro Access. On Metrorail, we spent a lot of time talking with Mr. Hammerby about platform improvements on the shutdown for the stations. And the shuttle buses that are being set up, and we've been assured that there's going to be adequate number of wheelchair available vehicles, adequate number of people to help people with disabilities find the appropriate bus to go to, hopefully using, for the deaf community, whiteboards, so that things can be handed out to them and communicate with them by whiteboard rather than just by voice or by sign. And we're pretty happy with what's going on. We'll see next week. Pilots so far go well, and next week should go well. The other thing we have done is we've been working on the elevator buses. Those of you that have used the elevators in the system realize that everyone is different. Some of them are in the dark. Some of them have red buttons for up and down, as opposed to white buttons for emergency, and station managers are constantly being buzzed. This Friday, from our radio station, I have to apologize for the emergency button on the call button. And so we worked out what the buttons are required to be by the ADA and suggestions of how they changed. And since you saw at the Finance Committee part of the rehab on stations is going to include elevators and escalators, this is an opportunity to sort of standardize the system. The other thing that we have worked on is the placement of the down escalators closest to the entrance gates. Several of the stations where you have multiple escalators going down, the first escalator, the first two escalators is in Boston, are up escalators. You have to go past two escalators before you get a down escalator to the platform. And at Clarendon, you actually come down two cars back to the last car on the train. And so we've worked with the escalator group, and they say, you're absolutely right, we're going to investigate it. And the problem was that someone had put a plan in place before any of these folks were for a while. Nobody knows why the current plan is there. So they're re-evaluating that, and hopefully that's going to be fixed. In June, the committee has been invited to go out to Bluebell to look at a new intercar barrier, which I've seen pictures of, which looks very good. So the rehab on the current 7000 series intercar barriers is completed. And then there's a new barrier that we're going to replace if it's accepted by everybody. And it looks very good, so I'm looking forward to going out for the visit. The bus work has mainly been involved with the bus transformation project. And that's moving ahead. It looks very, very nice. Current open houses, I went to one on Monday, have been very important, getting a lot of data from the public as well as from experts around the world, not just around the country or the city. One of the things that's important in moving forward in implementing, which is the next stage, is going to be a series of oversight groups. And one of the recommendations we have made is these oversight groups should include general public and certain disabilities. So far, there has been a lot of input from the disability community, and it's been absorbed and it's been important. We're very happy with that. One of the things that's a little bit troubling is it's going to require that the system be regional and coordinated. And what happened this past week in Montgomery County, where the supervisor put forward a budget that was going to reduce drastically the ride-on service, is something that we hear almost on a monthly basis from customers, and how it affects them as well as Metro Access. Because quite frequently, when WMATA turns over busters to local jurisdictions, local districts, remove some of the rides, usually on weekends. And so we invariably every weekend, people coming in from Metro Access saying, we can't go to church anymore. We can't get to the mall anymore. Because when the bus service on the weekend is discontinued, that tracks the service issues in that area. I said there are two approaches. One that we propose for the transportation project, and that is when WMATA turns over a bus route, it needs some minimum requirement of us maintaining the service level. And the other thing is, if the service level drops on things like weekends, there could be a grandfather clause for the measure access people that have been using that route all along and have lived in that area. I think that's critical if we take the approach of the general manager that transportation is a public service, like gas, electric, police, and fire. And so that's our push. When we get to metro access, there's a really elegant move, which will help the budget, and that's the move to efficiency. There is a move to change the scheduling window from 1 hour, which is actually half of what's required by the ABA, to probably 1.5 hours. If that works out well, over 2 hours. And what that will permit a lot of them is to schedule trips in the same direction in a sequence with multiple uses of the vehicles. Now, our nasty suggestion is we pray that members of the board will take a ride on the current four metro-active vehicles with us. Because when you get on a current vehicle, before they renew the current seating, which is made for six-year-olds rather than adults, you're challenged vertically and horizontally. Putting four people in that van is impossible. And the ADAP group, accessibility group, has a plan to change the seating to make it more accessible. Until that is done, going to the sequence of having four adult passengers on that van at any one time is torture. I had two rides this weekend from Virginia Square to Virginia to University. First ride was wonderful. I got on the bus. We went a half mile. We got a second ride. She got on the bus. We expected to stop in the district and in Maryland before we all went up to College Park. We didn't, so we made the trip for an hour and a half. That was wonderful. On the way home, I got to ride at the University of Maryland. We went a quarter mile to the teaching hall. So we picked up two adult, large men. They couldn't fit on the bus. They could fit in the seat. They both had a bus. I offered them my seat, and they just couldn't go over. We then went another quarter mile, which was a little sequentially, pick up a fourth person. Fortunately, she was a little bit smaller. She fit on the seat next to me. We then went another 2 miles, let the larger women off the van. They were almost in pain being squeezed into the seats. And that's why I think not just listening to us complain every week about the instructions watching every time she speaks to you. Come on in and ride one of the vans. Because when those seats become useful, either by removing one of the back seats and only having the bench seat and one seat, or doing what the legs proposed to put two side seats on, like we have on urban buses and on metro rail, putting four people on that van is just not doable for any amount of time. But certainly not for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And so the thing that we're requesting is that when you go to this sort of efficiency, that it be done with comfort in the amount of seating that's there, and also take into account the number of stops and the total amount of time that any one person is on the bus. I was on for 3 hours. And it was a nice ride, but 3 hours is pretty long for my lap. So those are the things that we ask. The other thing we're going to ask is to go along with this. The ideal way to schedule these trips is to have subscription trips. So WMATA knows people that are going and going, and they will have people, particularly in the morning rush hour and their evening rush hour. A lot of people work at the same place. They work on Capitol Hill. They work downtown. They work at College Park. And so if we take subscription trips they have sufficient time to schedule pickups so that you pick up the first, next person, next person, next person, and everybody gets off at that stop, and then you come back. And one of the things we're proposing is, as a carrot, subscription trips might be a little bit less expensive than regular trips. And I think the efficiency of gaining is going to more than you made up on the budget. So thank you very much. And once again, I'd love to take a ride with you guys doing this ride. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Posner? Okay. Thank you very much. Excuse me. Our next item on the agenda is the report of the Riders Advisory Council. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Riders Advisory Council has submitted a written report which substantially details their deliberations over the last month. I'll just highlight a couple of quick items. They had a conversation with the general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld, always a welcome treat for the RAC, and they had interesting conversations about the RAC wanting to understand more about how services delivered during routine and unplanned track maintenance efforts, so they want to be able to provide some guidance from a rider's perspective on how to better communicate what's being done so that we don't frustrate riders in the process. They had a lot of conversations about customer service and things that can be improved, including past ideas that have surfaced from WMATA. They did surface something that I'm going to want to engage with them more about, and that is how to get more take up of the various pass products that they have. They've surfaced the idea that they think that the board should consider some policy changes, and I'm not quite sure whether it's policy or process that needs to change, but I'm going to be engaging with them on discussion on that issue. But otherwise, I refer you to their written report, which substantially details all they advise us of this month.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Any questions, Mr. Dorsey? Okay, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is report by the chair. So good morning, everyone, and on behalf of the board, we are very excited to welcome a new board member today. I'd like to recognize Mr. Thomas Graham. Tom, would you please stand? We're over there. Great. Tom has been appointed to the board by the Washington Suburban Transit Committee, or WSTC, to serve as an alternate director from Prince George's County. He has served as Vice President of People Strategy and Human Resources at Pepco Holdings, Inc. Tom currently serves as immediate past chair on the boards of the Center for Energy Workforce Development and the Maryland Chamber of Commerce. He's also on the boards for Heroes, Inc., Excellence in Education Foundation for Prince George's County School System, Greater Prince George's Business Roundtable, Mid-Atlantic Plan Sponsors, and Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation. So, Tom, please come forward so I can swear you in.
Okay, Tom, repeat after me. Raise your right hand. Okay. I, and state your name.
I, Thomas Grant.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And I will be faithful and bear true allegiance.
That I will be faithful and bear true allegiance.
To the state of Maryland.
To the state of Maryland.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And that I will, to the best of my skill and judgment.
And I will, to the best of my skill and judgment.
Diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice.
Diligently and faithfully, without partiality or
prejudice.
Prejudice.
Execute the office of alternate director.
Execute the office of alternate director.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan
Transit Authority. According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
Okay, congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Great, welcome.
Again, welcome to the board, and we look forward to serving with you. I've known Tom for many, many years in his work at Pepco and when I was on the council, and so I'm very excited to have him as an alternate member of the board. Next, we have two items of administrative business today. First, we will appoint new members to the Accessibility Advisory Committee, or the AAC. Currently, there are two vacancies on the AAC, one from the District of Columbia and one from Virginia. Therefore, I move that the board appoint Kelly Semino from Virginia and Rico Dancy from the district to the AAC. Their terms will expire in June of 2022. So I'd like to move these nominations at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Finally, as required by the WMATA Compact, the board must organize annually. Our board elections are held in June. If you remember, we used to do these in January, and then we moved to June so the new chair can come in beginning with the new fiscal year on July 1st. So we need to create a special elections committee to provide the board with officer nominations for its consideration at our June meeting. Per the board bylaws, the chair can appoint standing or other committees necessary to carry out the business of WMATA. Therefore, I appoint the following board members to the Elections Committee: Clarence Crawford, Paul Smedberg, David Horner, and Corbett Price. And members, thank you for agreeing to serve on this most important committee. And as a point of information, I will not be seeking re-election for chair for the coming fiscal year, nor will I accept a nomination for the position. I have been chair for the last 3.5 years, and so it's time to rotate to a different jurisdiction. So this concludes my report, and I will now turn the floor over to the general manager for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. First, I wanted to give you an update on the 3000 series railcar investigation. As you know, we started to reintroduce the 3000 series cars back into service yesterday after engineers identified a failed electrical component in the console, what we call the master controller, the operator's cab. What it did is gave a false reading that the doors were closed, which when operating properly would not allow the train to move, and the train did move with the doors open. To ensure this component is operating as designed, we have implemented a daily live test of the door operation component. We're doing the test not only in the 3000 case, but also the 2000 case, because they have identical electrical component from that era of cars. We've also re-instructed our train operators on the procedures for observing exterior door functions before they leave the stations. Next time you're down on a platform, you'll notice that there's red lights that appear when the doors are open. They get extinguished when the doors are closed, so they are to make sure that those lights are extinguished before they attempt to move the train. So it's another safety safeguard. However, I want to make clear that all of the cars that we put in service are safe. This remains an active investigation as engineers continue their work to determine what factors led up to the failure of the components, so really what was the root cause that led to this. What we do know is the design of the parts inside this controller is the oldest in the fleet, which is significantly different than the more modern designs in the 6000 and 7000 K series. So once the component failure is more fully understood, we'll provide an in-depth briefing at the next meeting of the Safety and Operations Committee. In terms of major activity, the platform improvement project is about to begin, finally. It begins this weekend with 6 rail stations south of Reagan National Airport closing for the summer as we rebuild the platforms and complete other critical infrastructure repairs. From May 25th to September 8th, there will be no yellow and blue line service south of the airport. The rest of the system should experience near normal rail operations, the remaining 85 stations. Metro employees have worked in close partnership with Virginia transportation officials and other regional partners to develop extensive travel alternative plans for our customers. This includes Metro's 5 free shuttle bus routes, 3 express routes to the Pentagon, and 2 local routes, as well as free parking at Huntington, Franconia, Springfield, and Van Dorn stations. Customer awareness of the shutdown is very high, but to avoid confusion on Tuesday, when everyone returns from the holiday weekend, we urge customers to make their plans now. As we learned in SafeTrack, the first days of a major shutdown mean there are new travel patterns for customers to adjust and new operational challenges for Metro to address. We're prepared, but that does not mean it will be an easy next week as we roll this out. We'll be actively monitoring the rail and bus operations, and we'll make any tweaks and adjustments that are necessary to improve service. I'd like to thank our regional partners for their collaboration and creative strategies designed to keep the region moving this summer. I'd also like to thank our employees for their hard work in preparing this project and getting the word out on the to our customers. And finally, I want to thank our customers for their patience and understand as we take on this major safety critical capital project. And then finally, today as you enter the building, I hope you noticed that there was a 60-foot electric bus parked outside. And as we recently announced in our energy action plan, we have a study underway to identify best path forward on new bus technology. So I want to invite everyone to tour and ride the bus that is on loan from us from New Flyer to experience advancements in this line of technology. Besides the zero emissions benefits, you'll notice how very quiet the bus ride is inside. We look forward to concluding the study this summer and coming back to the board with a plan to transition our fleet in support of our energy conservation objectives. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my comments. We'd be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedenfeld. Any questions for the general manager? Mike?
Just one. On the electric bus, you said the manufacturer is New Flyer. Is that a USA American company?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wiedenfeld. Report, next item on the agenda is the report of the Finance and Capital Committee. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This morning, the Finance and Capital Committee referred the following item to the board for consideration today. Rail heavy overhaul facility. Staff reviewed feedback from the public and proposed a rail heavy repair and overhaul facility and sought committee approval for four things. The final public hearing staff report, selection of the preferred alternative at 3636 Penzi Drive in Landover, amendment of the mass transit plan, as well as delegation to the GM to acquire properties for the project. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Final items on the agenda are the reports by the jurisdictions from the District of Columbia. I have no report. WSTC, Mr. Crawford.
We have no report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. NVTC, Mr. Smedberg.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, I want to highlight something that Mr. Wiedenfeld said and want to say a few words of appreciation for all the work that the jurisdictional and regional bodies and WMATA employees have put in preparing for the shutdown, which we all know is going to be, you know, very disruptive. But there's been a lot of cooperation, particularly at the end here as we head up into Saturday for the official shutdown. And just wanted to acknowledge that, and hopefully there is further shutdowns happen in various areas that, you know, there are a lot of lessons learned here. And you know, let's all keep our fingers crossed for that first week. So thank you on behalf of, you know, the region for all the systems efforts.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smedberg. Finally, the federal government, Mr. Horner.
There's
no report. Thank you. Okay. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, move that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection A, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions or the federal government, and B, litigation, investigations, and other legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice or consultation with counsel and staff members, and D, contractual or other matters involving confidential or proprietary concerns or the investment of public funds where discussion in public would adversely affect the financial interests of WMATA. F, safety and security matters when premature release would compromise public safety. And finally, H, development of WMATA position or strategy on pending or proposed federal or state legislation. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll see everybody upstairs. Meeting's adjourned.